Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Story about a zoo, very famous zoo that was noted for their great collection of different animals. Until one day, the gorilla died. And they didn't know what to do because, you know, for sure, a very famous zoo. People would come to this zoo. And so they decided to hire a man and put him in a gorilla suit. Right? So they put him in the gorilla encasement there, you know, and they told him, you just act like a gorilla. Whatever you can do, but we got to make sure that people think there's a gorilla in there until we get one. And he started just doing all kinds of stuff and going everywhere. He didn't know what he was doing. He was kind of feeling a little weird and kind of scared. He didn't know what to do until all of a sudden he started moving around and he got too close with all of the attire that he had. He got too close to the edge and he fell into the lion's pit. And he got so scared that he started backing up and he started like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, a lion, oh my God. Tell him something, shut up. They'll find us out and we get fired, bro. That could get anybody fired, huh? That's what happens when you pretend to be something you're not. That's what happens when you try to be something you can't be. That's what happens when you may want to pretend, or you just don't know yourself well enough to know that you just can't do that, right? And that's what I want to talk to you about today in our second week of our emotionally healthy spirituality. I always get it all wrong with this big old title, emotionally healthy spirituality. And I want to talk to you about know yourself that you may know God. Know yourself that you may know God. And when you think about knowing yourself, you know, you can claim all you want to that you know God, but it isn't until you acknowledge, recognize, and know where you stand before God and what he's given you, who you are, and the resources he's given you, the gifts he's given you, and all of that, that then you can be all you can be. And I'm not talking about being in the army, except the army of the Lord, right? So that's what I'm talking about. So you need to get to know yourself. Last week, we talked about the problem of emotionally unhealthy spirituality. Let me tell you, I went to a group, and I was, wow. I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed it. How many of you are enjoying it so far? How many of you feel so good that you got ahead of it? Well, stop. Don't get too far ahead. You know, because we all want to be on the same page. I know it gets exciting. I know it gets good. And I know it gets great. But make sure that you just keep the pace. Remember that we talked about slowing down on the first week, right? So slow down a little bit. Just take it in slowly but surely and enjoy it. And I really enjoyed it. It was really good. The problem of emotionally unhealthy spirituality. Today we're going to talk about know yourself that you may know God. Then we're going to talk about going back in order to go forward. Journey through the wall. You may find some walls in your life that you need to go through. Enlarge your soul through grief and loss. You might be going through some stuff where God may bring some grief and loss to your life, and you're like, why is he doing this to me? Well, there are purposes in everything that God does. Discover the rhythms of the daily office and Sabbath. We're talking about the devotional you're doing every day twice. Everybody okay? Are you enjoying it? Man, it's such a good thing. Yes, it is. Grow into an emotionally mature adult and go to the next step to develop a rule of life. The idea is that at the end of this course, we've all adapted some rules into our lives that are going to be helping us grow into maturity, okay? So you need to be aware of yourself. That's basically what we're going to talk about today. Being aware of yourselves. And all of these seven things, actually eight. Well, there's the first one is we are unhealthy in certain ways and you find yourself in whatever category they're number one. But then the next seven, number two through eight, are the pathways that we're going to take in order to be able to become healthy emotionally and spiritually. And we're going to start today with another character, and it's not Saul. It's David. David. And there's a reason behind that. As you can see, if you read the Psalms, yeah, I know my name is David, it's okay. They're like, yeah. I didn't do this on purpose. But when you see the life of Saul, when you see the life of David, you see many, many, many differences. And you can tell that Saul is not in tune with God as much, but David is. David is, I mean, when you look at the Psalms and he starts getting angry, he says, destroy them. I want you to just simply annihilate them. I hate them. And God's like speaking back to him. And then he comes at God and says, oh my God, I've sinned. I've messed up. I did this, did that. And I just got to lay it all down because I can't live like this. Right? And then all of a sudden he comes up and says, praise, soul, God. Praise the Lord. I want to come to you with clean hands and a pure heart. Oh my God, purify me. And then he comes back and says, oh my God, please search my heart because there's a bunch of stuff in there. I need your help. I mean, you can tell that David's going through all these emotions and spiritual obstacles in his life, but he's not denying them. Saul did that. But David is just simply lets it all out. Are you one of those people that lets it all out? That just simply, you are who you are and you show your feelings because that's how you feel and that's it. I know you got to be careful with how you handle your feelings. And I know that you can be untrue to yourself and you don't want to be untrue to God. You need to be careful, but also you can't be a hypocrite, right? Nobody likes a hypocrite, right? We love them, but we don't like them. So, but does that mean that we need to work on that? We'll see. And you've heard this all over and over again, you know. All of a sudden you feel like you have these expectations in your life, and you need to show yourself in a certain way. Even the Bible places expectations on us. God places expectations on us. And when you read in 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, show yourself as an approved man. Show yourself as a servant. Show yourself approved before God and people. You know, so we have certain expectations, but unfortunately, some of the expectations that have been placed in our lives from different people, whether it is from friends and other people around us, whether it is from our families of origin, wherever we grew up and our mom and dads and grandparents and stuff, or whether it is from the inside that we fear some things or from the outside. But we need to know that we've been messed up and we look like imposters sometimes. And I always say we. Because sometimes we pretend we are something we are not. Or sometimes we pretend we're doing something that we're not. Sometimes we pretend that we can do something that we can't. And it's just amazing how sometimes we just fool ourselves, trying to fool other people. Trying to be an imposter. Trying to be something that we just can't handle ourselves. And that gives me some clues that sometimes we just don't know enough about ourselves. We haven't dug in, or we have some stuff hidden in our hearts like that iceberg all the way down there, but we only see the tip of it. So think about Adam and Eve. When they were without sin, oh my God, they were open. They were so open they were naked. But it's not just about being naked in the body. There was no shame. There was no guilt. There was nothing to hide in their lives. Their hearts were pure. Their minds were just simply what they were supposed to be. They were completely 100% in tune with each other and with God. You see, when Adam presented himself and when God came to the garden and spoke to him, because the Bible says so, Adam wasn't hiding from him. And he wasn't hiding from Eve. Eve wasn't hiding from Adam. Everything was okay until all of a sudden the image of God is marred. All of a sudden they see each other like, oh my God, I don't want you to see me this way. I'm messed up. And they start hiding and stuff. See how sin messes everything up. And they all of a sudden are hiding from God. They're trying to pretend they're something they're not. They're trying to blame stuff on other people like, the woman you gave me. It ain't my fault. And she probably said, well, he's such a dumb He took from it. I just gave it to him. He just ate it. Actually, he didn't leave any for anybody else, as always. You know, I can imagine the arguments that were around. I mean, they just couldn't be authentic anymore. They had to be hiding stuff. And that's what happens when our sinful nature overtakes us and we forget that we're children of God, that we start hiding and living differently or doing differently or pretending differently, probably because we don't want to go in there and dig because we know we'll find some crud in there. You see, and we see the results when you look at Genesis and you look at not just Genesis, but when you look at the humanity as a whole, everybody, including us. But let me give you real quick, I'm going to give you some symptoms of all this that you may not know much of yourself, or you may not know yourself very well, or that we need to know ourselves better. Give me these. I say yes when I really mean no. Have you ever done that? Sure, no problem. Look at that. He's like, no. I mean, right? No. All right. You know, have you ever done that? Like, well, yeah, how you doing? I'm all right. But I'm destroyed on the inside. You're lying. That's just a one quick example. I get depressed when people are upset at me. I have a need to be approved by others to feel good about myself. They don't like me. You see, think about these and think about, no, don't think about Saul. Think about yourselves. Think about myself. I act nice on the outside, but inside, I can't stand you. Just because God says I have to love you doesn't mean I have to like you. Have you ever said that? I've said it. I've felt it. I probably said it and meant it too. I often remain silent in order to keep the peace. You know what? I ain't going to say nothing because I'm about to slap you. So I'm just going to be quiet. Have you ever done that? Why? You're not being yourself, right? You're just hiding stuff. Who knows? I believe that if I make mistakes, I'm a failure. You see, one thing is to say, I did something bad. And another thing is saying, I am bad. There's a big difference. You do bad stuff, but I hope you're not bad. But we judge people like that, right? They do something, oh my God, they bad. That's bad. They bad people, right? I criticize others in order to feel better about myself. Well, at least I'm not like, beep. You put whatever name you want to put in there. I avoid looking weak or foolish for not having the answer. Let's talk about that later, right? I don't have time. You know what? I'm never afraid to tell anyone as a pastor when they come and ask me a question about the Bible to tell them, you know what? I don't know. I'm going to look it up. You know, I don't remember everything I've studied. Now, of course, when I'm in class, when I'm teaching a class, what I usually do is I tell people, if you have any questions, write them on a sheet of paper, bring them to class, and next week we'll address them. That serves two purposes. Number one, that gives me time to prepare to answer the question. And number two, that makes sure that I don't take time allotted for the class for chasing rabbits. I'll just get to the point when I come back, right? But I'm going to have you waiting for a week. You know, but sometimes there are times that I feel it. I don't want to look foolish. I had that feeling last Sunday, and somebody came over and asked me, hey, Pastor, so are we like two-part or three-part? Like spirit, body, and soul? Or is it just spirit and soul, which is one, and then body? What do you think? And I'm like, dichotomy, trichotomy. Let me see. I studied this. Let me remember. And I started going off, and I told him, I told him at the end, I said, listen, I gave you the answer that kind of comes to mind, but I want you to make sure there's this website that you can look into will help you get an even clearer answer. And to my surprise, we went to the website right there, and he's like, oh, so you kind of doubt? And I'm like, I don't have doubts. I don't have a problem with either or, but I want us to dig into it. And we did, and when we found it, man, everything the website said was exactly what I said, so it's good to Google. Be careful what you Google, right? Be careful where you look. But this is a credible source. So he was like, hey, that was pretty cool. It's like what you told me. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't look like a fool this time, right? But sometimes I am like, I don't know what to say. And trust me, there are times that I don't know what to do or what to believe or what to, I don't know. Anyway, I have to be doing something exceptional to feel alive.
If I'm just sitting around or if I'm not doing anything, I just feel like, the world's going to cave in on me. I just got to be doing something or going somewhere or doing something spectacular. You know, some people are like that. I'll give you a few more and let's just continue. I am fearful and I can't take risks. Are you a risk taker? Now, I always say, when you trust God, are you really taking a risk or are you really trusting God? It's like taking a risk is not such a big risk when you know God's behind you. Amen? But you still got to, faith is kind of a risk, but it's a safety there's behind to it that you may not see, right? But are you fearful and you can't take risks? I do what others want so they don't get mad at me. Okay, well then circle that one down. That's your problem, right? Yeah, think about that. If that happens to you, and some of these you may be like, well, I do that once in a while, but it's not like I'm like that all the time, right? I don't know. But I use knowledge and competence to cover my feelings of inadequacy. I want my children to behave well so others will think that I'm a good parent. You know what? There's 15 symptoms that you may be having to dig deeper into your life and getting to know yourself. But let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and let's read verses 23 to 26, because I've taken already 15 minutes of an introduction, and that means I'm going to be another hour, so let's get to it. But it's nice and cool in here, so you'll be all right. So verse 23, as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words, and David heard him. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Now, think about this. This is what's going on. There's a war between the Philistines and the Israelites. The Philistines were waging war on the Israelites and challenging them. And I want to just real quick, what happens is the way it used to be, wars were done in a valley. People would come from one hill and then the people would come from the other hill and they would challenge each other in different ways until finally they came to the valley and just kill each other out and to see who wins. That's what was happening. The Philistines came from one hill, the Israelites on the other side. The Philistines are all cocky and they're all happy because they're like, we're going to beat the heck out of you. And the Israelites are over there trembling and they're fearful. They don't know what to do because all of a sudden they had a challenge. This big giant who was approximately 9 foot, between 9 foot, 9 foot, 6 inches. That's tall, bro. That's a big dude. And he was challenging them and saying, let's just do this and let's settle it once and for all. You send one guy, I'll be the one guy from them. Basically, he was saying, we don't want any bloodshed. Nobody needs to get killed except one person. You come and bring your warrior, I'll be their warrior, and we'll fight it out. And when we duke it out, whoever comes out all right on top, then that wins, and the other ones will be servants and slaves. Is that okay with y'all? And of course, the Israelites were shaking and trembling because they don't know what to do. So that's what's happening, right? But then all of a sudden, David, who was approximately 17-year-old kid, just a lad, he comes over to bring their brother's lunch. He had three brothers who were at war, who were part of the army, of Saul's army, and they're over there on the trenches, you know, waiting to see, what do we do? And scared to death. And here comes David with the little lunch boxes for his brothers. And this is what happened. I read all the way through verse 24, right? The men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he's coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? You know, it's like, I couldn't believe it. I heard them say they're going to give him riches and give him a wife. I want that. Did you say, what? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Wow. Oh, man. All of a sudden, he's going to get riches and he's going to get a woman. He gets excited and said, I'll do it. How many guys have you seen? Oh, yeah. That brave, right? Now, this is amazing, you know. So when you think about it, here's Goliath. Like I said, a big, big dude, 9 foot tall. His coat, you know, the coat of armor, you know, 125 pounds, okay? Now, if you were carrying 125 pounds on you, Think about that and trying to go to war with that. His spear was so big. Just the tip of the spear was 15 pounds. Oh, my goodness. You keep adding weight to this thing. And he actually had a guy who held his shield, a shield bearer. He had to have a guy hold his shield as big as it was. There's a guy in front of him just holding that. This is crazy. This is kind of, and he's ridiculing the army of Israel, telling them, you know, come over. Come over and do something. Come on. And he did that for 40 days. Twice a day, he would come out and say that and taunt them and just ridicule them. Twice a day for 40 days, 80 times he came out and did that. And David emerges out from between the guys and says, hey, man, let me ask you, what are they going to give the guy? Oh, I'll take it. I'll do that. No problem. I got it. That's amazing if you think about it. But David had to face three obstacles in order to do this. And let's look at those three obstacles. Number one, his family. They were conformists. They would conform. I'm telling you, these people are like the ones that say, no problem, we'll do it. No problem, we'll accommodate. No problem, don't worry about it. You can't do that. It's okay. Let's just stay like this. If you look at verses 28 to 31, a little bit further down. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man. This is Eliab saying, that's little David. What the heck is he doing, man? Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? You little shepherd, right? I know your insolence and your wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. But David said, what have I done now, man? Was it not just a question? Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told him to Saul, and he sent for him. Here we go. Here's David. He's like asking everyone, so what? So what? They're going to give him what? They bring him to Saul, man. His brother was angry. He was like, go back to your little sheep. Mary had a little lamb. David had a few little lambs too. You know, it's just, he's just going off. He doesn't even get support from his own family. His brothers were like, "What? We know what you came here for. You just a curious cat. You just came over to look at the battle and stuff. You just want to see them. See?" And they start labeling him. They call him wicked, insolent. He's like, you, we know you. That's amazing if you think about it. He was misunderstood. He was slandered. He was ignored, disregarded. He was put down by his own brothers. I can imagine how he grew up in his family. Think about that. That's a pretty big obstacle when people are growing up in an environment where the entire family may be like this, or just some of the siblings if you think about it. Everybody knows you're a loser. They know what you came here for. You can't do this. You see, and it happens in the best of families too. And we add layers to ourselves to pretend that we don't hear it, to pretend we don't feel it, to pretend we don't think about it, and we start becoming something that we're not. So he had to really handle the obstacle of his own family getting in his way that he wouldn't do God's will, you know? And then all of a sudden, if David wasn't careful, some of his actions, some of his thoughts and feelings would have been totally discombobulated. They'd have been all messed up. It happens in families when they're like, well, no, you don't do that. You don't tell anybody that. Whatever happens in the family stays in the family. Oh, no, we don't act like that at home. We don't do that in front of people. We don't talk about those things. We don't cry like that. We don't go about our business like that. And, you know, we don't. All of a sudden, instead of being truthful, we become weak and vulnerable because we're hiding things. We don't show emotions. You know, and it makes me think that sometimes our parents probably did the best they could. Yeah. But still, there may be tensions in your life. There may be struggles in your life that came from wherever you were growing up in your family and your environment. Because they had some expectations of you, whether it is career or school or whatever, marrying someone like this or that or what, who knows? Having money or not having, or getting out of poverty, whatever it was.
So David here is ignored, and he's just cast out, basically shut up and go home. Don't be around here. You don't know what you're doing. If you only knew. But God notices David. Saul notices David. But that's not because, of course, Saul is the one here behind the curtain, behind this is God working, and we know that. And he cuts through the family dynamic that would shut him down. Now, also, there's another one. Significant others with authority and experience with no discernment. This is another thing. Sometimes we're not just affected by our family, but affected by other people that have more experience that are around us and that maybe tell us what to do and no discernment at all. And David had discernment to see who was telling him what he needed to hear and who didn't. And this is something that we need to learn. Verses 32 and 33. I keep going. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistines." This is David. Like, don't worry about it. I got it. Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." Basically, he's saying, you got no experience. You're too little. You just can't do it. Just stop. Just stop. You ever seen the movie Rudy? Right? The kid made it. He played at least one game. He played one play, whatever. But he did. How much effort did it take him? Nobody believed him. Everybody, you're too short. You're not strong enough. You're not fast enough. You can't do this. And yet he did. This is David all over again, right? You think about it. Here's Saul comparing himself like, dude, I've led an army of 330,000 people. I'm a warrior, and I don't go against that guy. And you think you're going to go against him? Pretty much. Saul was famous. He was experienced, you know. You're not able to do that, he says, you know. Maybe you've heard some of those voices in your life before. You can't do that. You will never accomplish that. You'll never amount. You'll, from coaches, from teachers, from other people, from peers, who knows, from your aunt, your uncle, who knows, I don't know, from somebody out there, a boss at work. Everybody's just so fearful there, and you know, but this is Israel. They believe God. This is Saul. He believes God, but they're acting like, even though they believe God, they're acting like atheists, like there's no God. It's easy to believe in God when things are going great, right, and everything's going all right. But all of a sudden, here comes one that's supposedly bigger than you, with more authority than you, more experience than you, and says, you can't handle that. You can't do it. Now, I want you to look at verses 39 and 40. It's on the next slide there. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. This is Saul now giving his stuff, his warrior gear to David. Right? And he says, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, approached the Philistine. Here's David. Oh my God, that is so awesome. That is so cool. He just says, you know what? I can't do this thing. I can't take that. I can't use that. No. Let me do this my way. The key here is that David knows himself. He knows himself. He knows who God is in him. And he knows what God can do with him and expects of him. But you know what? Nobody can be an expert in you but you. Saul said, you know what? Put this on. Okay, kid, just put it on and go. And so basically he's saying, put myself on you. You can't be anybody else. You can't be something you're not. You can't be anybody else. You got to be yourself. You got to know yourself. David knows himself, and he is able to say, no, I can't do this. How many times have we been challenged, whether by a family or somebody else, and we say, and they say, well, if you want to do it, then go ahead here. Do this. And you're like, well, I know this is going to be difficult, but heck, I'm going to do it just to prove them wrong. And it goes wrong. And then you ask God, why did you do this to me? I went in the name of Jesus. Right? Because sometimes we got to know ourselves. We got to know deeply ourselves what's inside. Can you imagine when David walked out there and took this stuff off and said, you know what, I don't need this. Started walking towards the little brook, and he went to the stream and started picking up some rocks and a little stick.
This is something else. Now, can you imagine what he felt from being on this heavy tunic and this armor and everything, from being freed from all of that with just a stick and a slingshot? Now, this is me now. This is me. Me and my stick and my slingshot, I'm going to get you. Wow, this is me. This is him. This is something that he can do. So he cut through the people. He cut through the obstacle of his family being in conformity to whatever, complacent. And then he cut through the people who simply did not give him good advice, and he had discernment to be able to know the difference. And he cuts right through that, and he faces Goliath. But then look at verses 41 through 44, a little bit further down. The Philistine came on, approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. Wow. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, with a handsome appearance. Well, he was good looking. At least he had something going for him, right? The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." He's like, "Come, I'm going to feed you to the beasts. I'm going to feed you to the birds. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to cut you up." Wow, he had to face Goliath. But it wasn't just a giant. It was his identity. It was himself. He had to face himself. Okay, so he's saying all this stuff about me. And he had to ask himself, who am I really? Who am I? Am I all that stuff that they say? Am I the stuff that my brother said? Am I the stuff that Saul said? Am I the stuff that he says? Who am I? Oh, my goodness. Despised him. I always laugh because I remember watching this story on VeggieTales. The cartoons, and I always see the big old giant Goliath. Am I a dog that you will come out at me with sticks? It's so funny. You got to see it. It's so awesome, right? It's amazing. But you see, if it was me, I'd probably be like the cowardly lion in the Wizard of Oz. I'd be like, oh, no. That would have been gone. Let me out of here. I'd be crashing through a window or something getting out of there. Oh, Lord, I must be crazy to be doing this, right? But it was David. It was him. He was himself at that moment. He just couldn't be anybody else. And you and I have to wrestle with that question whenever we're faced with opposition. Am I going to be myself? Or am I going to try to pretend to be something else, trying to beat the odds that way? It ain't going to work. And we have to take our chances, right? It could be overwhelming, you see, but he was not overwhelmed by the odds. Look at the odds here. If there was a Las Vegas near there, a lot of people would have put their money on Goliath. Simple as that. But it wasn't. You see, David, he knew there was a power combination. He knew there was something in him that God had done in his life, and he knew that God was behind him all the time. I think about him when he came down. Can you imagine this little kid coming down the hill and going to the little stream and just picking up some stones. This is it. Imagine that. And the giant looking at him. See, but David's not divided. He knows who he is, and he knows the God that lives in him and the God who has trusted him. You see, you could have put an armor, a javelin, and the shield and everything on David, and he couldn't be himself. Maybe Goliath could, but he couldn't. But you put a slingshot and a stick in his hands, that's it, man. You are toast. You are done. He could do that. He could be himself. So I want you to think of the effects that it had on other people too. Other people are like, what the heck is this kid doing? We're all scared here in the trenches. We're not coming out. But yet, he used common sense. He looked at himself. He looked at God within him. He did what he had to do. And then the people were blessed because they won the war. And everybody then all of a sudden got all encouraged, right? So you need to start finding yourself and what's inside and what God has given you. You need to start finding out what is it that God is doing in your own life and going deep and making the changes you need and getting rid of all those false things in your life so that you may be able to overthrow whatever giant stands before you. See, don't allow people around you or your family or you yourself and Satan trying to fool you on the inside. You see, I'm not saying don't listen to counsel or advice from other people, because the Bible says that there is wisdom in the abundance of counsel in Proverbs. It does say that. But you need to be able to discern. And these people were not discerning what he was. But he was able to do that. And because of his courage, he stepped out. He was himself. And he won the battle. And then everybody followed. That's what's amazing, right? So, you think about it. When you look at the mountains, what do they look like? A mountain. The mountain can't be anything else. You look at the valley. You look at a river. It can't be anything else. But you look at people. Are they what they really showing? Are they what they really seem like? And that's for us to think about. We need to be ourselves. We need to find ourselves. We need to know ourselves. There's four things that David understood. They're in your paper. They're not up there, but I want you to see them. David understood four things. Number one, God was with him. God was with him. It's not on the slides. It's on your paper. Don't worry. God was with him. Number two, his resources. His resources. Number three, his identity. His identity. Number four, God would defeat Goliath. Think about this. David knew who God was within him. He said, you want to wait a second? I have a God, and he's behind me. He's got my back. Not only that, he says, I know my resources. I know my gifts. I know what I can do. I'm a shepherd, but you haven't seen me tearing up some lions around here. I can tear this giant up. He knew who he was, and he had faith that God could do it for him. So, let me give you four practical principles to begin making the radical transition to living faithful to our true self in Christ. Wow, what a title. I didn't write all of that because you'd still be reading it. These are four practical principles that we need to practice in order to be able to be true to ourselves. Number one, pay attention to your interior silence and solitude. Pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to what's going on inside. Pay attention. Stop every day to listen to your heart, to see what's going on, to listen to your thoughts, to just see things, okay? And these are things, I'm talking about listening to God in a way that you can't hear it from a pulpit. I can't tell you that. You get alone with God and you start making the habit of silence and listening, and you pay attention to the inside, to your inner self, and God will start speaking to you. Also, not only that, find some friends, find some companions to share things with. That's why we want to do this, and we keep doing this in small groups. You know, and move out of your comfort zone. Don't stay where you are. Do something. Step out in faith. See, David knew his resources. David knew who he was. David knew the God whom he trusted. Therefore, he was able to step out of his comfort zone. There's a God that's working in you, within you, with you, for you, and through you. And you have to admit that. Don't dismay like the people of Israel. Just get on board with that. Trust God. And you'll see that other people will be then following you. That's the whole idea behind this, that we will all experience a victory. And then, you know, you may have people around you that will never step out in faith. You may be one of them, but you see David. So the question is, where are you? What are you doing right now in your life? Think about it. Are you in the trenches? You know what a trench is, right? Is that hole, is that long hallway in the dirt that is built so that you can hide to protect yourself? And sometimes we go to battle and we like to stay in the trenches because we just can't pop our head up because we're too afraid. We're too afraid to go out there and fight. We're terrified. Believers or non-believers, terrified. And that's not who God made you to be. To be frightened and to be scared and live afraid for your life. You need to break out. But it takes knowing yourself and knowing what God is doing in you.
You have to think about where you come from, your family. You have to think about how you grew up. You have to go back and do an inventory of self. What are some of the things that I've learned throughout the years that were wrong and I'm afraid to admit? You know, I hear people talk about their parents, and man, when I hear them talk about them, I'm like, your parents are glorious. But what happened to you? Right? And you think about it. When I think about my parents, oh my God, I think about my parents and I can think of so many great things. And I'll tell you about them, but I'm afraid to tell you about what they did wrong too, right? Oh no, it's hard to admit. Our families had some things that were messed up. Think about it. So what are you carrying? What did you bring? What are you carrying on? What is it that you inherited that you just keep carrying and carrying and you don't know how to shake it off because nobody needs to know? So I want you to think about that. What is it that's going on at work or with people or what your coach said or your teacher said in your life or somebody or maybe your ex-spouse or your own current spouse or your children has said about you that just makes you go, I want you to think about that and get out. Get out from the trenches and persist. Just be yourself. See, just be yourself. Because there's somebody that came. And he came and became a man. His name is Jesus. And he was no other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He did not pretend. He did not do anything to show that he was something he was not. Or he didn't try to hide anything. And he went to the cross, he paid the price, took your place, and defeated the great giant of condemnation and sin, death, separation from God, so that you could live life free, out of the trenches and into the battlefield, because the victory is yours. But you have to be yourself. You have to know yourself. You can't pretend to be something you're not. You have to go out there and be honest with yourself and with others and with God. And you'll see. Because David defeated Goliath, the rest of the army got encouraged. You can encourage others, but you need to encourage yourself first. You know, like on an airplane, they tell you when the mask drops, go ahead and help everybody. Go ahead. Help everybody. Put their mask on. That's not what they say, right? Put yours on first. Because if you don't put yours on, yeah, I always, every time we fly, I argue with my wife about the mask. Because every time she hears the stewardess say, remember to put yours on first, she's like, yeah, all right, put on mom first. I'll put my daughter's first. And I'm like, then she won't have a mom to care for, right? Then who's going to help her? Because I'll have my mask. I guess it's me, huh? But you think about it. You need to dig inside. You need to go in. And you need to think of self and go in there and let God do the work. Let him flood you all the way down to the bottom of your iceberg with mercy, grace, and love, forgiveness, restoration. Because that's what he does. See, God doesn't want to go deep into your life and reveal stuff. You know what? Sometimes when I'm praying, and I know this got to happen to you too. Sometimes you're praying and all of a sudden these things come out and you're like, oh my God, I'm so messed up. Oh my God, that was deep. I didn't want to go there. Does that happen? But we need to go there. Because when we go there, God can take us somewhere. He can do something with us.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.